Often people will tell me that they have been hurt so badly that they cannot forgive. They are right about one thing: they can't forgive. I believe that genuine forgiveness is a work of God in a believer's life. Let's talk about the when of forgiveness. When can I forgive? First of all, I can forgive even when I don't think the other person is sincere in their repentance. I believe the very purpose in Jesus giving the example in Luke chapter 17 the way he did was to answer the question, when can I forgive? Jesus said, if my brother offends me 7 times in a single day, and after each offense asks for forgiveness, I must forgive him each time. The natural tendency for us to think is that if he does something to us 7 times in a single day, then his repentance cannot be sincere. I hasten to remind you that there is no such thing as instant maturity in the Christian life. Very few people achieve victory over besetting sins instantaneously. For most of us, it's a lifelong struggle. Even the Apostle Paul said that the things he didn't want to do were the things he did, and the things he wanted to do, he did not do. Paul even said in 1 Corinthians 9:27 that he beat his body black and blue to bring it under control. I also remind you that neither you nor I can look into another man's heart. Only God can do that. I cannot see the true motives of people. Only God can do that. I must forgive and let God take care of the other person. When can I forgive? Secondly, I can forgive when I don't feel like forgiving and not be hypocritical. The flesh and Satan will see to it that we don't feel like doing any of the things the Lord has commanded. Many times I pray when I don't feel like praying, read my Bible when I don't feel like reading it, go to the hospital when I don't feel like it, come to church when I don't feel like it, and a multitude of other things could be listed. If we only serve the Lord when we felt like it, I'm persuaded very little work would be done in the kingdom of God. All day long, in order to be responsible to God, myself, and others, I do things against my feelings. When I do what is right, it's called obedience, not hypocrisy. We are hypocrites when we claim to be Christians and don't do what Christians should do. Wendell Miller said, Jesus did not feel like going to the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, his feelings were screaming, "No, I cannot do it." Jesus was sorrowful. He prayed that he would be able to avoid the cross. Then, in spite of his feelings, as an act of the will, he committed himself to the will of the Father, and he endured the cross, despising the shame. His determination to do the Father's will and to suffer and die as a sin-bearer kept him on the cross when legions of angels would have rescued him. Clearly, being obedient to God by forgiving another is no more dependent upon feeling like it than the obedience of Jesus in going to the cross when he did not feel like it. In this, too, he is our example. I can also forgive whenever someone sins. In Luke 17:4, Jesus said that if our brother offends us 7 times in a day and asks for forgiveness 7 times, we are to forgive him. Once again, I don't think Jesus meant a literal number. We are not to keep an account of wrongs, real or imagined. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:5 that real love thinketh no evil. The Greek word is an accounting term, which means we are not to take down notes or keep a record of every time we were wronged. When Jesus told the disciples they were to forgive every time their brother asked for forgiveness, they asked the Lord to increase their faith. Jesus told them even if they had the faith as the size of a mustard seed, they could move mountains. Jesus was telling them not to offer excuses because they had all the faith they needed. The problem was not one of faith, but one of obedience. Then Jesus told the disciples about a servant who did what was right because it was his responsibility, his job, in Luke chapter 17, verses 7 to 10. Jesus asked the disciples if they should pat this servant on the back and brag on him because he merely did his duty. No, Jesus said this servant was unprofitable because he did only what was required of him, nothing more and nothing less. Jesus was teaching that his disciples were to go the extra mile, to do more than was merely required. God's servants do his will, but they do it out of a heart of love and in the spirit of gladness. In the Old Testament, men obeyed a rigid code of rules and regulations. We are now under grace, which is motivated by love. Under the law, men obeyed the law of Moses because of a fear of punishment. Now we are to obey because we love, and our obedience under love should far exceed the requirements of the law. Now, if a brother hits us on one cheek, we turn to him the other. If a man asks us to carry his burden 1 mile, we carry it too. If a man asks us for our shirt, we give him our coat also. In love, we do whatever we have to do to help a fellow man. Under love, we don't need a law that says, don't beat your wife or husband. Love always does what is right. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus then told the story of 10 lepers who were all healed. All 10 were told to show themselves to the priest, and they did. However, one returned to thank Jesus for the healing. This leper did more than he was required to do, and he did it with great joy. This thankful leper represents believers. We are to serve the Lord with gladness and love and do more than is merely required of us. The other 9 lepers represented the servant in Jesus' story of Luke chapter 17 and verses 7 to 10. They did only what was required and nothing more. All of this refers to forgiveness. We are to go as far as we need to go to forgive our brothers. We should forgive them with love and gladness. Remember this, if I have really forgiven my brother, it isn't the 7th time. It isn't the 5th time. It isn't even the 2nd time. It's always the 1st. I can begin to forgive now. Corrie Ten Boom once told a personal story about not being able to forget a wrong that had been done to her. She had forgiven the person, but she kept rehashing the incident, and so she couldn't sleep. A Lutheran pastor told her, "Up in that church tower is a bell, which is rung by pulling on a rope. After one lets go of the rope, the bell keeps on swinging, first ding, then dong, slower and slower until there's a final dong and it stops." I believe the same thing is true of forgiveness. When we forgive, we take our hand off the rope. But if we've been tugging at our grievances for a long time, we mustn't be surprised if the old angry thoughts keep coming back for a while. They're just the ding-dongs of the old bell slowing down. I can begin to forgive now. But you say, what if I can't forgive? Often people will tell me that they've been hurt so badly that they cannot forgive. They are right about one thing. They can't forgive. I believe that genuine forgiveness is a work of God in a believer's life. To really forgive, one has to know what it's like to be forgiven. And this is one of the lessons that we learn from Matthew chapter 18. Let us notice several thoughts about forgiving when it's hard. Notice the power to forgive. We have established that forgiveness is the most difficult task in the universe, and I've heard people say, I can't forgive him for what he did. You're right. You cannot forgive him, but God can forgive him through you. God asked Abraham a rhetorical question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is, no, sir. God can do anything, including helping you forgive what seems to be an unforgivable event. Notice what the Apostle Paul said. For it is God who is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve his purpose. The power to forgive is a divine power that comes from God to the heart of the believer. Secondly, let's notice the correlation between love and forgiveness. Love is the power behind forgiveness. Notice how Paul connects love and forgiveness in Colossians chapter 3. Accept life, Paul says, and be most patient and tolerant with one another. Always ready to forgive if you have a difference with anyone. Forgive as freely as the Lord has forgiven you, and above everything else, be truly loving, for love is the golden chain of all the virtues. Paul told us that love and forgiveness go hand in hand. And this is the same truth that I believe Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter. Paul told us that if we really love people, then we will possess the power to retaliate against them, but never do, that we'll be kind to them and treat them gently, that we will not fly into a rage of anger or act rudely and never do anything that would hurt another. Real love will not demand its own way and not pay any attention to suffered wrongs. A loving heart is broken when someone sins, and we rejoice when someone does something good. Real love, Paul says, thinks the best of everyone and believes that things will change. And finally, love endures the trials of life without weeping. Love and forgiveness go hand in hand. The love of Jesus Christ in our hearts will give us the power to forgive our brother.